sunset. Do you say that the best is behind us? Is it true that life's beauty is gone? Is it sad that the morning is over, that the twilight is gathering on? When you turn from the flowers and sunshine, and you walk with your face to the shade, and you think of the gladness departed, is it true that your heart is afraid? Oh, I say that the best is before us. We have not yet dreamed of the best, of the beautiful days that are coming, though our pathway winds down to the west. It is farther away than the sunset. It is past all the hush of the night. When the sleep and the silence is over, we shall open our eyes to the light. Good morning, and a very cheerful greeting to all of you. It is indeed a pleasure to be coming your way another time with the gospel of Christ. Today, we continue with this text. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Romans 11:22. It is a pleasant thing to remember the goodness of God, and it is a fearful thing to actually see and know the results of his severity upon those who refuse to accept and believe the gospel and turn from their sins. In John 12:48, we find these words, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now, don't forget the words of Christ. Mark them well and remember, those words of judgment and severity are just as surely coming to pass as is his offer of mercy. Then listen to this verse from John 3:36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Does that punishment seem too great? Well, just remember, there are some folks who have had the opportunity to hear and accept Christ but refuse to do so. So he says, "The wrath of God abideth on him." And then in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter and beginning with verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Friends, we're living at a time many folks take only that part of the scriptures which suit them best. They like the thought of going to heaven. They like the thought of eternal bliss and happiness, and I do too. The Bible teaches this. But how true is this scripture? "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Luke 6:46. How often do you hear the preaching of eternal judgment? Do you know that this is in the Bible also? Then listen, the 25th chapter of Matthew and verse 41 goes like this, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That sounds to me like an example of the severity of God. And then in verse 46, these words, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Friends, the same Bible which speaks of eternal life also speaks of eternal damnation. God is not only one of mercy, but he is one of justice and severity. There's so much vulgar, evil, blasphemous talk in these days until some folks have gotten used to it. Perhaps it doesn't quite stir them like it once made them blush when they heard certain words and saw the evil things which are so prevalent these days. But listen to this warning, and don't forget this is from the Word of God also. It is found in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and beginning with verse 3. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient,
but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Dear ones, don't forget that, and I hope that you'll not let anyone deceive you with vain words, for surely this part of the Bible is just as true as the other part is. To further show the severity of God which is going to fall upon those who willfully disobey Him, listen to this passage of Scripture from Hebrews 10 and beginning with verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is my sincere hope that those who hear this broadcast will not be one upon whom the judgments of God will come because of their refusal to accept the truth and obey the gospel. Just think of the folks back in Noah's day who heard him proclaim the righteousness of God. Did they listen? Did they accept it? Did they give heed to it? Evidently not, friends. But it was the long-suffering of God which waited upon them to come to repentance. But there came an end to his long-suffering, and he sent the rains and the floods. How many folks were saved in that day? Just 8. Think of it. Only 8 people that were delivered from the flood, and then it was those who entered into the ark, the means of escape which God provided for them. And it is said that God shut the door. Dear ones, this final judgment and decision of who is going to enter heaven and who is going to be lost in the regions of despair is going to be left to God alone. It is not going to be the decision of some man, but it will be in the hands of an eternal and a just God. In the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when the folks lived in wickedness, it was Abraham who pleaded for mercy upon those cities. Would you spare these cities if there should be 50 righteous people in them, pleaded dear old Abraham? Yes, the Lord said he would. And little by little, Abraham pleaded with him until he finally reached the number of only 10 righteous people living therein. Yes, the Lord said he would spare the city for only 10 righteous people. But were they found there? No. Think of it. A city of thousands of people and not 10 righteous people therein. A perfect setting for God's wrath to be poured out. And the cities were destroyed with fire and brimstone from heaven. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. Friends, Christ has made a way for your escape. Christ is the ark by which you can be saved. He is the mediator by which you may approach God and receive forgiveness of sins. There is comfort for the righteous, but there is torment ahead for the wicked. May God help you to flee from the wrath which is to come. Let us pray. Our Father, we're glad for the provisions which have been made for our escape from the bondage of sin. Bless each listener of the broadcast today with the richest blessings of heaven. And should there be those listening who have hardened their hearts against the truth, may this be the time they come to themselves and arise and go to their Father, who will abundantly pardon and blot out their transgressions. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, we hope that you have enjoyed this brief gospel message. And if so, I would be pleased to hear from you. those who feel they need some spiritual help, or if we may be of assistance to you in drawing closer to the Lord, please feel free to write us. You may do so by addressing your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. And may I take this opportunity to tell you that we sincerely and deeply appreciate those who help us keep the message on the air from week to week. We're glad that it's possible for us to trust God to supply the needs, and so far, He has not failed us. We sincerely thank each of you who have had a part in helping keep the message on the air. Here's a song, Glorious Peace. The singers are Bob Forbes, Randall Flynn, Melvin Doolittle, and Dale Doolittle.
I came defiled and guilty to Jesus the mighty to save. He took my sins and sorrows and beautiful ashes gave. Peace, peace, glorious peace, like tranquil waters flow, streaming down over my heart, made white as a driven snow. I came to Jesus repenting, confessing my every sin. My heart's door swung wide open, and glorious peace flowed in. Peace, peace, glorious peace, like tranquil waters flow, streaming down over my heart, made white as a driven snow. And since that joyful moment of glorious peace to me, my soul has ceased its pining, my heart has been light and free. Peace, peace, glorious peace, like tranquil waters flow, streaming down over my heart, made white as a driven snow.
Dear ones, until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be with each and every one of you, and a very cheerful goodbye.